Reconciliation only happens when there's been a fight, when there's been a dispute, when there has been a falling out. Was the issue that brought the need of reconciliation, was it on our side? Was it on God's side? Or was it both?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we do need to answer that question that we just heard, but I think we need to back up one step and ask the question, what is the issue that needs to be reconciled?
Well, at the heart of our nature, we are rebels against God. We're rebels by nature. We're rebels in practice. We rebel against the sovereign Lord, who is the King, who by right lays claim to the rule over the whole of our lives. Mm-hmm. We sin against him. We grieve his heart. We are part of a human race that has pursued evil, and none of us can stand apart from that. So this is the great Bible doctrine of sin, is the reason why mm-hmm. Jesus Christ came into the world. And it's a real issue, however much we want to pretend in modern culture that there's no such thing.
All right. So then that takes us to the question that we just heard a moment ago. Is this an issue that needs to be reconciled on our side, on God's side, or both?
Let's go with both.
Okay.
We need to be reconciled to God, but God is the one who reaches out to reconcile us to himself. Hmm. And something needs to happen. It must be more than simply, hey, I've decided I want to be God's friend now. Well, I'm guilty before God. So how can I just walk up to God under whose judgment I stand and say, oh, I've decided I want to be your friend now? No, there has to be a way in which peace comes, and the mediator, Jesus Christ, because he is God and man, is the only person in the universe who is able to bring this reconciliation about. We're going to see the glory of Jesus and the wonder of what he's accomplished on the cross in the Bible today.
Well, if you can, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to pick up today with verse 18 as we begin the gift of ministry. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want very simply today to remind you of the ministry and the message that God has given to us, and then to make three observations about it. The ministry and the message that God has given to us very clearly is the ministry of reconciliation. It's all through these marvelous verses that we've just read. God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself, verse 18, and he gave us, the people of God, those who have been reconciled, we have been given by God this ministry of reconciliation. And as if that were not clear enough, he repeats it again in the next verse with one word of change. He says, God was reconciling the world to himself and trusting to us the message of reconciliation. So the ministry and the message, which of course always stand together, they've been trusted by God to us, his people, who have been reconciled to himself. Therefore, verse 20, here is the conclusion. We go, we speak in the name of Jesus Christ. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the message that is coming, the ministry that is coming from the people who have been reconciled to God, by God, and have been trusted now by God with this marvelous and strategic ministry. So since this is what God has given to us, it is really important that we individually and together understand what we have been given and the commission with which we have been trusted, that we have grasped it and that we have understood it, so that we can do it really well. Now, the first thing to say here is surely this, that the ministry of reconciliation obviously presupposes a conflict. Reconciliation only happens when there's been a fight, when there's been a dispute, when there has been a falling out. If someone were to say to me after the service, have you been reconciled to your wife? I would say, I have no idea what you are talking about. I have never fallen out with her. I love her. She loves me. Reconciliation, by definition, is something that happens when people have fallen out, when there's a problem, when there has been a conflict, where people are no longer face to face. Reconciliation, in other words, presupposes a problem. And in order to exercise this ministry that God has given to us, we need to understand what that problem is well. Was the issue that brought the need of reconciliation, was it on our side? Was it on God's side? Or was it both? On our side, of course, there's plenty. Our sins, our doubts, our fears, our resistance to God, our distrust of God, our unbelief, our self-interest, our lack of faith, lack of hope, lack of love, all these things put us at a distance from God. So that by nature, we don't want to talk to Him, we don't want to come to Him, we don't want to submit ourselves to Him. But when everything has been said about the problems on our side, we still haven't got to the heart of why we need to be reconciled to God and what stands in the way of that happening. Think about this with me for a moment. Suppose that everything on our side were put right. Suppose it were possible for you to overcome all of your reluctance towards God, all of your distrust towards God, for you to put aside all of your self-interest. Suppose it was possible for one of us today to offer ourselves without reservation to the purpose of loving God and trusting God and serving God. Would that in itself bring about the reconciliation? And the answer to that question, of course, is no, and here's why. Because when everything has been said about the problems that are on our side, there is still a bigger problem. And we're told about it right at the beginning of the Bible. God tells us the story of how our human rebellion against God began. You remember that Eve wanted to be her own God. Adam wanted to be his own God too. And so they disobeyed God, and God sent them out from the garden. They found themselves in a different world, the world we're familiar with, a world of pain where work is hard, a world where Adam and Eve's own children would fight and one would even kill the other. The world that we know so well today, the world of violence and greed and disease and self-interest, a world under the curse of sin, a world of loss. Now suppose at some point, east of Eden, Adam had said to himself, you know what? I think I made a mistake. This is nothing like the Garden of Eden. I realize now I thought I would be better being my own God, and then of course Eve found the same. That's been causing us problems in the marriage ever since. The truth is, this is nothing like as good as Eden. I'm going to go back. Now here's the problem. He could not go back. Even if he wanted to. And why could he not go back? Well, the answer is in Genesis and chapter 3 and verse 24. God drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim, angelic figures, and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. See, if you were to overcome every problem on your side, you would still be left with this problem, the flaming sword on God's side. And what are you going to do about that? A flaming sword, picture it, that turns every way. It's flashing, it's flaming. You get near to it, it'll cut you into pieces. Why? Because nothing that has been touched by sin is going to come into the eternal abode of God. Nothing is going to ruin the eternity into which God's eternal joy will be forever manifest. So Adam's outside of Eden. And he is living in a world, we are living in a world that bears the curse of his and of our sin. And he's alienated from God. And even if he wants to, there is for him no way back. And you see, that gets us to the reason why Jesus Christ came into the world and why he had to go to the cross. What is the really big problem that needs to be dealt with in order that reconciliation may take place and can only be dealt with by Jesus Christ coming into the world and going to the cross? The answer is the flaming sword. The answer is divine justice. The answer is the great condemnation that lies on our whole world as a result of our sin. It's a much bigger problem than just your doubts, your questions, your disinclination, whether you want to go God's way or whatever else. Much, much bigger than that. And friends, we need to remember these things. When people ask us the question, why in the world would you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? I was asked that question by a near neighbor, again, just this week. Well, I came and visited your church, but you seem to believe that. Why would you believe that? Well, here's one reason that we believe that. That only Jesus is able to deal with what blocks the way. And what blocks the way primarily isn't on our side. It's the flaming sword. It's the justice of God. You can't understand why Jesus is the only way until you understand what it is that is the problem that he comes into the world to overcome. What is it that keeps us out of heaven? It's much more than your disinclination. The flaming sword that turns every way, and if we were to approach it, would cut us into pieces. But he has come. And because he has come, there is reconciliation. And the ministry of reconciliation is trusted to us.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Gift of Ministry. Now, we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to this look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in just a moment. If you joined us late, have to leave early, or you ever miss a broadcast or want to go back and listen again, you can do that at our website. Just come to openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the free Open the Bible app, which you'll find at your app store. But whether you listen online, through the app, or on the radio, it's all made possible through your generosity. So thank you for giving to and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of a book written by Phil Ryken. It's called, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And we'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want then just to make these three observations today about this ministry. It's the simplest possible outline, and hopefully it might be one that you would remember and might be useful to you. The ministry of reconciliation is from God, it's for the world, and it's through us. That's it. That's these verses. The ministry of reconciliation, this marvelous, marvelous ministry, it's from God, it's for the world, and it's through us. These three things today. First of all, then, it is from God. Look at that in verse 18. It's right there. All this is from God. And then verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself. Verse 20, God making his appeal through us. It's just relentless through these verses, the constant activity of God. God is always taking the initiative. God is not in the position of standing back, wondering, and waiting to see what people will do. No, he's relentlessly at work. God was reconciling the world to himself. God giving us the ministry of reconciliation. God making his appeal through us be reconciled to God. So God is not the helpless victim of human sin and rebellion. He is not wringing his hands or shaking his head in heaven saying, "What in the world am I going to do?" Now notice that everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross is spoken of here as from God. This is very important for our understanding of who God is. So please look at this with me carefully. All this is from God, verse 18, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. Verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So not simply Christ was reconciling the world. No, in Christ, God was reconciling the world. You have the same thing in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You think it might say, you know, Christ demonstrates his love in the fact that he died for us. That's not what it says. That's true, but that's not what it says. God demonstrates his love for us in this. Or John 3:16, best known verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So the coming of Christ tells us more than that the second person of the Trinity loves us. More than that Jesus loves us. God so loved the world. Now here's what's important for us to grasp. Jesus did not die on the cross in order to make God love us. Jesus died on the cross because God loves us. Jesus died on the cross because God loves us. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's why verse 19 is so important. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Christ is God the Son, and since there is only one God, in him, God offers himself. So when the Bible says God spared not his one and only Son, always remember this, that God not sparing his Son means God not sparing himself. In Christ, God gave himself and bore the whole cost of our reconciliation himself. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Now, Spurgeon, as so often, says this in a way that is helpful. Let me just quote him to you. He says to his congregation, "Never fall into the idea that God is vengeful and angry, and that the death of Jesus was necessary to pacify the Father. Beloved, you know better than this. You know that God was love before Jesus died. Always love. Always full of grace and truth towards his people. God was in Christ. God came to earth to reconcile men and women. God made the atonement for us." So here's the first thing to grasp about this ministry and this message that has been trusted to us. It is from God, and it streams from a heart of love that is the heart of God. And that God is relentless in his activity. He reconciling us, giving us the ministry of reconciliation, in order that he in Christ is reconciling people throughout the world, appealing to sinners, not counting men's sins against them. God, 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 right throughout this, always active, which is the greatest encouragement that I know in sustaining ministry. So the ministry, the message of reconciliation, it's from God. Here's the second thing. It is for the world. God was reconciling the world to himself. Now here, friends, is a marvelous statement about what God was doing at the cross. Here's what it means. In the death of Jesus, God was removing every barrier to peace on his side. He was putting away his own condemnation and wrath arising from justice in relation to sin. He was dealing with and at the cross, smashing that sword that blocked the way. And then as he reconciles people to himself, he then sends these people out to tell the world that it is so. To tell the world what God has done in Jesus Christ. So understand this. It's important to get it clear in our minds. The message that we are to take out, the message of reconciliation, is not, you know, God hates you, but if you're really sorry, then perhaps that might change. No, the message of reconciliation, and you can say this to any person in whatever sin, God loves you and in Jesus Christ has put away every barrier on his side in Jesus Christ. He offers himself to you in love. He invites you, he wills you to receive this reconciliation. And for you to refuse this reconciliation and instead to move towards the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you to do that when the door of heaven has been opened for you and the arms of God are stretched out towards you, that would be the greatest folly, to walk away from this love, and it would be your ultimate loss. Receive this reconciliation. Be reconciled to God.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled The Gift of Ministry, as we've been looking at the ministry of reconciliation. Really how it's from God, for the world, and next time we'll continue this teaching as we look at how it's through us. Our message is part of a larger series entitled Don't Lose Heart. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you've missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can listen online at openthebible.org or through the Open the Bible app. One other way to listen is to get the entire series Don't Lose Heart on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We can't do what we do without your generosity, so thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what is something that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the first thing is probably the subtitle, which I think is full of hope. How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. I think that's marvelous. And there's a profound truth here that when we endure dark experiences of doubt, that God can actually work in and through these to bring us to a stronger faith. And so perhaps someone listening right now is thinking, I think I'm maybe like Judas who betrayed Jesus. Well, think about Peter, who also denied his faith, but then was wonderfully restored and became a pillar of the church. So you need to know that your doubts may be the very thing that God will use to strengthen your faith. And this book, I think, very practically will help you to deal with your doubts. It'll equip you to walk through the struggle and to see how God can work redemptively for your good and for his glory.
Well, we want to say thank you for your financial gift in supporting Open the Bible this month by sending you a copy of this book. Again, it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine. Watch Your Doctrine is a six-session course that is geared for leaders, but accessible for every believer. The six sessions will introduce you to six central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.